Hey friends, I want to thank you very much for tuning in to the SGT Report podcast. Before we start, just a quick word about our sponsor. So stocks are at all-time highs, the housing market is on fire, interest rates are at zero, and this government just printed another $5 trillion. What could possibly go wrong? Meanwhile, consumer confidence hit a 10-year low, and inflation hit 6.8% officially, with many informed analysts saying it's much closer to 9%. So something's not adding up, is it? What can you do? You can play it safe. Putting some of your assets into precious metals will keep your money away from the volatility of markets and inflation and let you sleep at night. This month, Noble Gold is giving away a free 1/10 ounce solid gold American Eagle coin with any qualifying plan you start. So talk to an expert at Noble Gold and they'll run you through the options to keep your money safe. No pressure, no hassling, no call centers, just a chance to speak to someone who knows what they're talking about. How refreshing would that be? You can start by calling 877-646-5347 or visit their website at noblegoldinvestments.com.
Because they're advocating for requiring proof of vaccination status. I'm reading this specifically from it. Ideal vaccine and booster requirements, requiring N95s for everyone and providing N95s. So who's paying for that? We are.
The language that you speak of, doctor, is actually codified in the law that I cited. That legislation envisions effectively COVID passports. It's in 70.15. So the CDC, federal government, the WHO were planning on restricting movement of people and goods all the way back then and envisioned CDC passports or CDC approved passports. So you're absolutely right.
This has been a long-term plan of global control and depopulation.
Hey guys, thanks so much for tuning in to this blockbuster Truth Roundtable featuring Army Doctor Sam Sigaloff and two heavy-hitting attorneys, Todd Callender and Charles Kovas from Australia. Thanks so much for tuning in. Before we start, just a quick word about our sponsor. Crypto is a very fast way to build wealth. That's why Colin Plume, the CEO of Noble Gold, created MyDigitalMoney.com. It's the cryptocurrency platform that offers the best U.S.-based phone support service. With MyDigitalMoney.com, you'll get a real-life human being to answer your call. Don't understand how crypto IRAs work? You need help on how to sell your cryptos? Are you worried about the controversy over a crypto you already invested in? Call MyDigitalMoney.com. And here's a special treat. If you're unsure whether crypto investing is for you, open a Play Money account with MyDigitalMoney.com and try trading without any risk. So go to MyDigitalMoney.com right now and start building your wealth. Hey friends, thank you so very much for tuning in. It's absolutely fantastic to have you back. It's Sean from SGT Report here. You know, as they say, telling truth in a time of universal deceit is a revolutionary act. Well, we're going to tell a lot more truth again today, and I'm very happy to welcome two guests to the broadcast. Dr. Sam Sigaloff, he's an expert witness and a medical doctor in the Army, and our returning guest and friend, Attorney Todd Callender. First, Todd, welcome back.
Thank you for having me, Sean.
A pleasure. And Dr. Sam Sigaloff, thank you for your service, and thank you for your propensity and your willingness to speak truth. Tell us just a little bit about yourself.
Well, first I want to say that anything that I state is my own opinion. It does not represent that of the DOD or the US government. I am not in uniform. I am not on during the duty day. This is recorded during leave, and I did notify the PAO prior to this recording. And if anyone is interested in hearing more from me, I recently started a podcast called After Hours with Dr. Sigaloff. I encourage you to take a listen.
Excellent. Excellent. Where do people find that? Podbean, iTunes, etc.?
iTunes, Spotify.
All right. Very good. Now, friends, I think we're going to start with a couple of macro news items. I want to share some things with folks before we get into the guts of this conversation, which revolve around the Arizona Intergovernmental Agency's agreements and governor's executive order. That's Doug Ducey, a Republican in Arizona, activating their FEMA camps under emergency powers. Okay, if that doesn't startle you, the guts of this content certainly will. We'll get to that in a second. Now we're going to pick up kind of where we left off in our last conversation, Todd. You and I had been talking about 5G and the rollout of 5G, to heck with the consequences, to heck with the safety studies. But the airlines are so concerned about 5G interfering with airplane communications that now, yet again, AT&T and Verizon have reluctantly committed to pushing back their 5G rollout. I think that's a glimmer of hope. It's certainly not going to cure the problem. And 5G, in my view, is extremely dangerous. But your thoughts on this, Todd?
It strikes me as being more than odd. Consider one of our prior conversations where we talked about those that got the vaccines are effectively transmitters, receivers on the 5G frequency, on the whatever it is, 60 gigahertz frequency or in that range. What are the odds that the launch of 5G would not only interfere with the radio navigation systems on the airplane, but the pilots themselves? So I'm really happy to hear this, but I think the problem is a lot bigger than they're telling anybody.
Yeah, I tend to agree. And, as we remarked in our last conversation, the bandwidth of 5G, some of the side effects are flu-like symptoms. So we're going to keep an eye on this story because a lot of people think the 5G rollout has already been done in full, and that is not the case. Okay, we've got to keep our eye on this story because 5G never went through any safety studies at all by the industry, not the industry pushing it, not Verizon, not AT&T, and not the FDA, nobody, not the FCC. Nobody did safety studies about 5G. We're just supposed to trust that it's safe, just like we're supposed to trust that the quote unquote vaccine is both safe and effective. I assure you that is not the case. And I want to play this soundbite from medical drug trials expert Karen Kingston discussing Albert Bourla, the CEO of Pfizer, and perhaps what should happen to him.
So I think this is pretty alarming, but this is I think is enough evidence to arrest Albert Bourla from Pfizer. So if you go to page 15 of the document, again, this is the document from November 20th of 2020. We thought the studies for the children 12 to 15 years of age didn't start until, December or January, because they actually finalized the data and released and approved it in May. But it says right here that there were 100 children, so they had side effect data from 100 children aged 12 to 15 years of age in this phase 2-3 trial. And that was provided in the EUA submission. However, the sponsor, Pfizer, the CEO, and believe you me, the CEO knows everything that was going on with this trial, did not request inclusion of this age group in the emergency use authorization because the data available was insufficient to support a favorable benefit risk determination at this time. That means the data was damning, it was harming. Therefore, the reactogenicity data, the adverse event data for participants aged 12 through 15 years of age for these children are not presented in this document.
The FDA admits to this. They're admitting to the fact that the data wasn't favorable for the vaccine, and that's why it's not available for the public to see.
Well, they're not saying it's not favorable in the sense that it wasn't favorable in that it's not favorable in efficacy. They're saying the safety data is so damning. This is so harmful to children ages 12 through 15. We don't want to release it. I just want to be clear about that. It's not that, not just that it doesn't work. It's that this was shown to harm, disable, and potentially kill children, 100 children that were tested on November 20th, and they violated their own FDA laws. They should have never moved forward with a pediatric study.
I'll pause it there. I'm coming back to you, gentlemen. How does that make you guys feel? The mainstream media continues to say, and so does the CDC and Fauci, that these things are safe and effective, and we should run right out and jab our kids.
It's criminal. She said that. She's absolutely right. This whole thing has been master planned for a very long time. We have the documents to prove it. How would they know in advance that COVID-19 would even exist back in 2017? They named PCR test kits for COVID-19 before the disease existed. She's absolutely right. And she always has been, by the way.
Interesting thing about safe and effective, but we shouldn't be looking at effective. We should be looking at the word efficacious. Efficacious means we have a clinical outcome that we're looking for. Effective can mean multiple things, but one of the definitions is it easy to use? And yeah, it's easy for a clinician to jab a needle in someone and then walk away. But does it have a clinical effect? And in my most recent podcast, I cover this, and they're saying that now there's a negative effect of efficaciousness to these shots, meaning you're at higher risk of getting infected.
You know, it's funny, Doctor, when you were saying that, I was reading back to the actual investigational new drug regulations for the FDA, and there are actually provisions that prohibit them from using the word safe and effective as it relates to investigational new drugs. So I wonder how much wordsmithing it is to talk about efficacious versus effective. That's really interesting.
Well, you as an attorney too, Todd, must consider intent. What is the intent of these medications? Because if the intent is to harm, damage, and kill, then they are very effective when looking at the VAERS reporting database.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. So to remind everybody, we're talking about a phase 3 clinical trial. And every one of these, to this very date, whether that's AstraZeneca, as it relates to the United States, Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, are all being provided under emergency use authorization. Meaning we are in a grand experiment. Comirnaty, that was a bait and switch deal, because even though that's theoretically approved, it isn't being produced. My point in telling you this is that the manufacturer gets to change around the amounts of the ingredients and the ingredients themselves without ever telling the test subjects what's in it. In fact, that's part of the informed consent requirements, that you have to tell people the risks, the ingredients. None of that has happened. And so what that does is rise to the level it supports. It's evidence in support of criminal intent. And in a conspiracy so grand, it's hard to even fathom.
And if you look at the package insert of the Pfizer Moderna, I'm sorry, the Pfizer BioNTech, there's actually three different formulations. And so you don't know which one you'll be receiving, because they don't say that this one's in the purple top, or this one's in the gray top, or this one's in the orange top. And I've been collecting a lot of pictures from various service members, and it seems that every picture I've seen has only been the purple tops, and those are the ones that have to be diluted. The gray top, the orange top, they don't have to be diluted. And I don't know what the difference is and why they would make some that have to be diluted and some that don't. Seems like that's a great way to cause significant dosing errors. But it seems like the military has only received the purple tops.
Well, that's interesting, because I've wondered if perhaps the athletes in the NFL and the NBA, et cetera, in this country got one of the quote unquote safer versions of these quote unquote vaccines, because in Europe, we continue to see soccer players dropping on the field, athletes in peak condition dropping on the field, some of them dying. We've never seen numbers like this in soccer, but I've yet to see an athlete in this country fall down during a game and grasp their chest or pass away like we're seeing in Europe. It just makes me wonder if the NFL players got some different version of this thing.
Actually, I thought I saw there was a basketball player, or maybe two, that actually did. But you're right, as it relates to the other sports, you're absolutely right. But boy, the tennis players and soccer players are dropping like flies. It's really distressing.
Yeah, in the work of Michael Yeadon, the former scientist there at Pfizer, I think the chief scientist at Pfizer and now a whistleblower, he says that the lot information, the vaccine information coming in from the injuries and deaths when plotted on the XY axis, is showing that maybe 10% of the lots are causing the majority of the injuries and deaths, which speaks to intent. He calls it premeditated mass murder because of the way these things are manufactured. This can't happen by accident. Okay, you can't.
Not a chance. Not a chance. It's Sean. In fact, you and I talked about it in our last discussion. It relates to the use of lipid nanoparticles going into a person's cell has to bypass the immune system. So the manufacturers, at least in the mRNA shots, actually included proteins to disable people's immune system. It effectively gives them AIDS. So even if somebody didn't get that 10% of the shots that would give some kind of an anaphylactic shock or whatever it is that's killing people immediately, everybody else seemingly that got the lipid nanoparticles has AIDS. So yes, mass murder. In fact, it's genocide.
Interesting thing about those lipid nanoparticles, and I encourage everyone to go do this. Go on the U.S. Patent Office and just search in DSPC. I was able to find a patent from 2014. I don't have the patent number readily available. But it talks about, if you read through it, it says how some embodiments of this discovery cause DIC, disseminated intravascular coagulation. So that's basically where everything in your body clots and then you bleed to death. It also caused suppressed immune system. So that maybe lends credit to why we see increased risk of infection, decrease efficacy, negative efficacy of these. Maybe that's why we're seeing increased cancer, this spikes of unusual cancers, because cancer is usually kept in check by your immune system. And then I've also found another patent for DSPC and DSPE, and those are both lipid nanoparticles. And they were designed, this is the reason why they were patented, because they were designed to take medications to your brain. Now, as a medical professional, the prevailing wind at the time when these first came out was that they stay in your arm. But then why did they put these lipid nanoparticles that are designed to take it to your brain if they meant it to stay in your arm?
Yeah.
And we don't
know if the nanoparticles
stay in the human body.
Doctor, I'm sorry for interrupting. Did you see the Japanese biodiversity disclosure that showed that they actually were designed to go throughout the body and they effectively lied to the American people?
I've seen some of them.
And I was going to say, to your point, you made mention of the lipid nanoparticles disabling people's immune systems. And I have to tell you, over the last 2 days, I've seen a lot of numbers coming in from different whistleblowers. It looks across the board, according to the numbers I'm seeing, it's 300% increase across the board in excess fatalities.
And just an aside, I'm going to speak a little cryptically, but I've been able to look at some numbers from a system. And if we look, let's use diagnosis X. And if we look in the past from 16 to 20, and we looked at diagnosis X, and then we looked at how many, and it happened X number of times every year, that was a constant number, you know, plus or minus a few. And then we looked at that same diagnosis for 21. I would typically see the same number of diagnoses every month that were made in the previous year.
Wow. Well, that's not terribly surprising, because the Indiana Insurance Company CEO has expressed that he's seen a 40% spike in deaths between the ages of 18 and 64. He said that's absolutely unprecedented, and a 10% spike would be a 1 in 100 year event. But nobody wants to correlate that with the mRNA gene therapy. And that's why I wanted to do that special story about Derek McIntosh, that 41-year-old father of one, just he and his son, just he and his son in the world, and he's from Minnesota, and he was forced to take the vaccine because of Joe Biden's mandates. So he died 6 days after taking the second Pfizer dose, and he was riddled with blood clots, and at 1:30 in the morning, he was rushed to the hospital, and he was dead at 5:30 in the morning of a heart attack. Derek McIntosh, a real man, one of the VAERS numbers now, so a statistic, but a real man with a real son and a real death caused again by Pfizer and Albert Bourla. Before we talk about the meat of this conversation and what's going on in Arizona, Dr. Sigaloff, can you tell us about what's happening in the Army? And, you know, Joe Biden wants to vax everybody in the military, and as a result, a lot of folks in the military are leaving. Do you want to give us an update?
I'm going to speak in some generalities, because I, you know, certainly can't talk about any elected officials or anything like that. It seems as if there's two different policies. There's official policy that's happening, that's supposed to happen. And it seems as if there's this shadow policy that's going on, in particular where I am stationed. And this shadow policy allows people to practice medicine without a license. And, you know, there seems to be no one that will investigate this. I've spoke to FBI, CID, local sheriff, military police, and no one wants to look at the clear and evident felonies that are being committed on a daily basis.
Todd, now we get into your area of expertise. Now, we've got this letter from 1,283 healthcare workers in Arizona, physicians, nurses, healthcare workers, public health professionals, et cetera, all lobbying for more COVID-19 lockdowns, essentially. And on the back of that, we have the Arizona Intergovernmental Agency Agreements and Governor's Executive Order, that's Doug Ducey, activating their FEMA camps under emergency powers. How do these two things tie together?
Isn't the timing miraculous, if you think about it? I saw that very letter, and a few things about it. Number one, it is going to be used, it is a catalyst to triggering some laws in Arizona that turn the temporary emergency orders into permanent emergency orders. It appears to be completely fabricated for this purpose. And I was looking through some of the doctors and healthcare professionals that signed it. And one in particular is retired. I'm sure there's somebody else that's dead, but these are supposed to be the people swearing to the fact that the hospitals are overrun with people dying of or with COVID. The interesting part of that is, and why I say it's coincidental, it is not coincidental, that here we have the enhanced immune response, the ADE response in people that got the shots, which are, you know, filling hospitals with people that are dying from diseases seemingly not related to COVID, but maybe characterized as such for these purposes. I think the timing is absolutely funny. How is it possible that this all coincides with increased numbers in the hospital for people with the ADE, effectively the enhanced immune disorder, at the same time as the emergency powers that are about to expire, and therefore calling a special session in Arizona to make these permanent? The other weird part about it is that the governor in these emergency powers has actually delegated to the Arizona Department of Health as to, you know, what expertise in terms of when these emergency powers should expire and on their recommendations. So he can present that to the legislature and make all of this permanent. Then comes the intergovernmental agreements, right? Now the intergovernmental agreements arrive at effectively the same time, say, hey, we better isolate. We better shield. We better create these camps, or certainly activate them to quarantine people. In the meantime, you got people streaming across the southern border, and they're not subjected to anything. It appears to me that all of this is designed for U.S. persons, U.S. citizens, replacement migration, and the timing is absolutely not coincidental.
So you wrote to me in an email as you were helping me understand this. These docs will show this mandatory quarantine guidance detailed in the IGAs is following the CDC shielding approach, which is basically the legal framework for what is being done in Australia and New Zealand. Now, I'm asking you to speculate, but I guess not all Republicans are created equal. Why would Doug Ducey be doing this?
So if you go back to 2016, in fact, before that, it's the International Health Regulations. You and I spoke about how that was the governing international document, and every signatory to that convention has to enact in their own laws, similar laws, or basically the meaning behind it. And we did in the United States in 2016 came 40 CFR Part 70 and 71 that gave power to the CDC to determine public health emergencies and the response. It's no different that at the same time in 2016, Arizona also enacted their own emergency powers, military affairs and emergency management, Title 26301. None of this is coincidental, Sean. It all happens at the same time. It's all by design. And I just don't understand how we can be sitting here and watching this.
Well, and I should correct myself. You sent me so many wonderful documents as I was getting up to speed here. I should have given that credit to Jack Donna, Master Sergeant, U.S. Army retired. He's the one blowing the whistle on these documents. And again, it's the exact same tyrannical stuff we're seeing in Australia and New Zealand. They want to roll it out in every state they can in this country. Now, thank God we have 50 states. Okay, I don't think we're going to see that happen in Florida, for instance, or Texas, perhaps. But that's what they'd like. And some of the Republicans are just as bad as the Democrats.
I can assure you the same laws are in every single state. Going back to this international convention, the same rules exist in Australia. The same rules exist in the Bahamas. I think I actually sent you effectively the very same wording from each and every one of those countries. They all happened at the same time. And of course, we have friends in Australia that are working at the same time on these same issues. Hopefully one will join us. The language is exactly the same. It's a duplicate. This is a global response with the WHO providing direction to all the states under military power.
Dr. Sigaloff, your thoughts, what can you bring to the conversation as it pertains to the usurpation of our military forces? I guess you can't be very political here, and I understand that, but how does this make you feel as a red-blooded patriot?
Well, if you'll see above me, there's a declaration and there's a Bill of Rights, and you may not be able to see it over here, but there's a Constitution on my wall. I take these documents very seriously. And, you know, to give you kind of an idea of the situation that I'm in, and I've heard this from another service member who's not a physician. He's an enlisted man who was talking to his captain. And that man, that enlisted man, has now been ordered to not talk about COVID. that's a direct infringement on your First Amendment. Now, I have been given that same gag order as well. Mine is not all encompassing. My gag order ends when I'm not in uniform and it's not during the duty day, which is why I explicitly say that at the beginning of my podcast. I said it here because what the last thing I need to do is go to prison for disobeying a direct order, which is unlawful. But that's the world we're in. And, you know, if I can't speak about things that are important for my job, like making sure patients are adequately consented, then I can't do my job. Then I need to be out of the military, and I'd happily resign my commission so that I can hit this fight even harder without the specter of them taking my pay, taking rank, taking my liberty. And one thing about this Arizona document that I would really want to draw attention to is there's a list of doctors. This is pages and pages and pages and pages of physicians that have signed this. And every single one of them are one of two things, and maybe both. They're Chicken Little, and the sky is falling, and everyone's dying, which we haven't seen that yet. And the other is they're all totalitarians because they're advocating for requiring proof of vaccination status. I'm reading this specifically from it. Ideal vaccine and booster requirements, requiring N95s for everyone, and providing N95s. So who's paying for that? We are. Also, requiring strict isolation, strong support to for maintaining isolation and quarantine guidance as set forth by public health departments. That's the CDC shielding technique, which if you read that and you read that with eyes of a free man or woman who enjoy their freedom, you could easily read that and say, oh, well, if they think I'm at increased risk for getting infected because I've never had this jab in my body, then they could easily round me up and put me in there.
Right.
The language that you speak of, Doctor, is actually codified in the law that I cited, 40 CFR 7071, and that legislation envisions effectively COVID passports. It's in 70.15. So the CDC, federal government, and the WHO were planning on restricting movement of people and goods all the way back then, and envisioned CDC passports or CDC approved passports. So you're absolutely right.
Well, where do we go from here, gentlemen? It just, you know, I'd like to at least have a cup half full perspective for the audience. I don't want it to all be doom and gloom, but sometimes the truth is a little scary.
So I do have some thoughts on this, if you don't mind, Sean.
Yeah, please.
At the very front end of this thing, all of these laws are predicated on an emergency. And I think if nothing else, this so-called Omicron has been so contagious that everybody's had it to effectuate real herd immunity. Dr. Sigaloff can speak to that. My point is that if we can do away with the emergency powers, the rest of this falls away automatically. And I think there's a lot of support for that. If you look at, for instance, Tennessee last year, let the emergency powers expire. So now they don't have all this stuff. And if we can encourage governors of different states to do that, little by little, we can claw back all of our rights.
I'd like to add a few things too. Is during emergencies, these documents and the Constitution over here are the most important and supreme. And to throw those out in times of emergency means they never existed to begin with. That's like saying, well, it's voluntary, but since you didn't do what we wanted, we're going to make you do it now. Well, then it was never voluntary. Now, let me leave you all with a little bit of hope and some things you can do. You know, remember, the person next to you is not your enemy. Even if they had the jab, they may not be for mandating, right? So just because they've had a jab doesn't mean they're your enemy and you shouldn't, you know, say terrible things to them, because we will all need to stand together. If you've had the jab and you regret it, let's do the best to optimize your immune system. That includes the foods you eat, which I'm planning on covering soon, but it includes eating more meat, surprisingly enough. More meat will help your immune system, help your entire body optimize and function at the highest level possible. And I'll be discussing that soon on my podcast. Sorry for the shameless plug. But it's a deep subject that is so critical that instead of treating disease, we should find health. And that's the whole philosophy of the osteopathy field.
And remind us the name of the podcast again?
After Hours with Dr. Sigaloff.
All right. Very good. I have a very supportive audience, and I think you'll probably get a few followers there. So guys, Charles Koves is here in the waiting room. Can we go another 15 minutes? Yeah. All right. Let me bring him in.
Great. Hold on.
Friends, we have another guest joining us now, Charles Koves. He's an Australian lawyer. He's in the waiting room. We're going to admit him. We'll say our hellos. Charles, can you hear us?
I can.
Hey, welcome. Glad you could join us. We're about 30 minutes into this broadcast with Dr. Sam Sigaloff and, of course, Attorney Todd Callender. So welcome.
Thank you. Lovely to be with you. And I've got a horror story for you guys straight off the bat, but I'll tell you about that in a moment. But lovely to be with you from Melbourne, Australia.
I definitely want to hear that horror story, but let me do a screen share here and we'll set the stage for the horrors that we're seeing here in the United States. This is from Tim Truth over on BitChute. I posted this on my site, thephaser.com. It's the results of a new Rasmussen poll, and it definitely tells us that fear is an existential threat to our liberty. And a lot of these people who took part in this poll have been fear-mongered into believing some very horrible, horrible things should happen. Listen to this.
So here they are trying to tell us that the Democrats have some very concerning swaths of their population in terms of support for really draconian evil policies. So we'll have to see if this is actually representative of reality. I hope not. But look at this new Rasmussen poll. 29%, they say, of Dems support taking your kids if you refuse to take the vaccine. That's right.
This is a perfect time for a break, friends, and a quick message from our sponsor. So stocks are at all-time highs. The housing market is on fire. Interest rates are at zero. And this government just printed another $5 trillion. What could possibly go wrong? Meanwhile, consumer confidence hit a 10-year low and inflation hit 6.8% officially, with many informed analysts saying it's much closer to 9%. So something's not adding up, is it? What can you do? You can play it safe. Putting some of your assets into precious metals will keep your money away from the volatility of markets and inflation and let you sleep at night. This month, Noble Gold is giving away a free 1/10 ounce solid gold American Eagle coin with any qualifying plan you start. So talk to an expert at Noble Gold and they'll run you through the options to keep your money safe. No pressure, no hassling, no call centers, just a chance to speak to someone who knows what they're talking about. How refreshing would that be? You can start by calling 877-646-5347 or visit their website at noblegoldinvestments.com.
Taking your children away, dragging them kicking and screaming away from their parents with the force of the government. That is insane. 59% of Dems support putting us on house arrest if we refuse the jab or if you miss a jab, if you fall off the up-to-date recommendations from the health authorities.
And 48% of Democrats say you should be jailed if you question the vaccine online. This is such an existential threat to our liberty. And so many of these people have been absolutely, utterly brainwashed. Todd, Dr. Sigaloff, your response, your thoughts on any of that. And then we're going to hear Charles' horror story from the bowels of Australia.
Yeah, if you don't mind, this is a really important part I want to try and impart to people. You would have seen Klaus Schwab just, might have even been yesterday, but he said that post-COVID, we have to bring in a new system of governance. That's exactly what they're waiting for. They want to see our system fall apart. They want chaos so that they can bring in a system that's more to their liking. What we have to do is utilize the law as it is. We have to take over our legislatures legally, properly. We have to petition our government, and we have to bring suits to stop this kind of government intrusion. And we have to do it globally, little by little, in every single place, in accordance with the law. We cannot afford chaos, because the last thing we want is a Klaus Schwab vision of this world.
I agree just as much. This is called the Great Reset. If you hear anyone say those words, the Great Reset or Build Back Better, then they're on board with this. They're reading all from the same script, and it sounds conspiratorial, but there's evidence out there. You know, I hate to plug someone else on your show, but if you've heard of Glenn Beck, he recently put out a book that sold out of all copies in one day. It's called The Great Reset. I encourage everyone to get it. I've got my copy here in the house. But the thing is this is not about health. This is about totalitarianism. And it's about having a few people control everything. And it's a little different than socialism, a little different than communism, but it's still about total control. And I really want to echo what Mr. Callender said, is it has to be done legally. you know, there's going to be some people out there that want to, you know, throw off the shackles of whatever. And, you know, I'm going to be an American and do my American right, which is, yes, you have your firearms and you keep them and you hone them and you do all that. Don't use that first. That is the very last thing, because they will use that chaos to come after you even more.
Well, it's just shocking to see how easily people can be whipsawed into giving up their liberties and willingly enter into this type of tyrannical despotism. It's just absolutely shocking to me. I didn't think it could happen in this country, but if that Rasmussen poll is even remotely close to being correct, then boy, it seems half of these people are just completely lost. Charles, we're coming back to you. I've seen some horror stories in video form coming out of Australia. What's your story?
Well, I am a legal strategist. I was a practicing lawyer for 20 years. For 28 years, I've been a professional speaker, educator, leadership consultant, strategic advisor. But for the last 10 years, I have been helping on legal strategy of lawyers seeking to get compensation for parents of children damaged by vaccines. So for the last 10 years, I have been immersed in understanding the regulatory structure of health professionals in Canada, America, Australia, UK. And I say to you, Sean and Todd and Samuel, it is conflicted. It is corrupted, it is criminal. And I'm happy to defend those claims in any court, in any land that you like to say. The medical regulation system is corrupted, conflicted, criminal, the three C's. And I have been involved in 1975, Sean, with advising doctors in Australia to minimize their taxes, because it was in 1975 when I was working at the biggest law firm in Australia that the Medicare system in Australia came in. And that's when the practice of medicine went from a doctor-patient relationship to a menage a trois. It was suddenly became a doctor-patient-government relationship. And maybe it's a quartet, because then there's the insurers who come in with their protocols. Now, with that background, when COVID first raised its ugly head, I knew what the game plan was, because since the 70s, Samuel, I have been observing the game plan for the Great Reset, the Trilateral Commission, the globalist agenda for one world government, everybody. That's what's going on here. But we don't even have to go there and say, why is this criminality happening? Because there's big bucks being made by a big pharma. Big pharma equals big bucks. And the whole training in Australia, the Western medical system, the whole training is entirely based on the provision of drugs. Nothing to do with health, everything to do with drugs. Now, the horror story, Sean. So that's my background. And I'm a thought leader in freedom. Why? Because my parents were refugees from Hungary in 1949 to this country. Why did they come to this country? To get away from communism, totalitarianism, dictatorship, control. They wanted freedom. That's why Australia's population went from 5 million in 1945 to what we have now of 26 million, because people left totalitarianism. And America, the land of the free and the brave, is quickly disappearing, as those statistics showed. So I am acutely conscious, and I urge everybody listening to the show to be acutely conscious of the threat to freedom, because without freedom, you are no different to an animal. If you are locked in a cage, you are entirely the same as an animal. It is freedom that makes us human. And so law, and Todd's work as a lawyer, the law helps to preserve those freedoms. Healthy, being healthy, because if you're not healthy, you can't be free. Health enables you to be free. I'm involved with industrial hemp. Hemp enables you to be free. And I'm also an expert in comedy. I'm the chairman of the Australian Institute of Comedy, Sean. So at the end of the day, if there's reincarnation, this is all a sick joke, and we'll be back next time to do it properly. Now, the horror story, last point. I'm late onto this call because I've just finished facilitating a 2.5 hour call, 2 hours 21 minutes to be precise, of Doctors for COVID Ethics. And I have just listened to testimonies from six people, three of whom featured on a documentary that was released 2 days ago by Jacqueline Devoy, I think her name is. It's now on the Iconic platform, but literally six horror stories, Todd. This is entirely to do with the wonderful work you're doing and getting people out of hospitals. Six murders of elderly people in hospital, put in there, murdered with midazolam. And the stories that I have just sat through are literally horror stories. And what happens, the children are there looking after their parents, and the nurses and the doctors in three separate hospitals are the three subjects of this documentary. By the way, the documentary producer had 38 examples of this, and then three more people on the call, and there were 60 people on this call, came and told their stories. And then other people said, that's what happened to my parents. Please, Sean, I've got some lessons to share with you, but this is happening. And kids go home for a rest. They come back. They were talking to their parent. They come back 6 hours later, and their parent has died. And they have been injected. And Jacqueline, the producer of the film, her dad took a turn. Two paramedics arrived, 26 and 21 years of age. She's charging to come back home. Do not give them anything. They inject the dad. The dad dies. And she says, they murdered my dad. She's filed a complaint with the Metropolitan Police in the UK. This is a UK matter. But we have people all around the world with murdered parents, everybody. Horror stories.
Yeah, they're real horror stories too, because that same thing is happening in this country. There's all sorts of evidence that what you just described happening there is happening here. Our friend, attorney Tom Renz, has tried to save some of these people from the hospital death protocols. And the hospitals hang on to these people with like some sort of like invisible iron chain. They will not let these people go because I think they want the death money. They get paid a lot of money if and when somebody dies in their hospital and can be labeled a COVID death. And jump in if anybody has a comment.
Sorry, Sean. Yeah, no, you couldn't be more right. One thing I wanted to add to that is that there's two other components. Number one, the hospitals enjoy immunity under the PrEP Act, under the CARES Act. So nobody's going to hold them accountable civilly. And in 2016, the Department of Justice created a merging of public health and law enforcement. So now your hospitals are part of the law enforcement apparatus. There's no justice if you file a criminal complaint against the hospital because the police are one and the same. Number two, you can't sue them civilly because there's immunity. Number three, they are getting compensated for each and every COVID death. And even more so if they use remdesivir, they get a 10% bonus payment and another $30,000 on top of that if they have to put them on a ventilator. So there is no reason to, there's no way to stop the hospitals from doing this. And this is what Charles was saying. This is international. It's the exact same thing the world over. If you don't call that genocide, what is it?
Well, I think another interesting thing is going back to this Arizona letter that was put out, signed by many physicians, is they're all screaming for totalitarian things and then in hospital treatment, but there is no call for out of hospital treatments. There's no call for giving any sort of monoclonal antibodies in someone's home. There's no call for ivermectin. There's no call for hydroxychloroquine. If these things could work, then they should be asking for them if it's really as bad as they're claiming it is. That's how you can tell it's just disingenuous. And a year after we've had an outbreak, and then now we've had masks, everybody's wearing them, and everybody's getting injected, and now it's worse. Well, that would make me think that everything we've done has made it worse. And we should look to states where it's getting better, Florida, Texas, you know, there's many other states, and look to those places to see why is it better there when they have less mandates and they have less requirements for masks and injections and all these different things.
Yeah, that's right. And countries like Japan. So we've got to stop swallowing the official talking points, especially when we know people like Pfizer CEO Albert Bourla are literally, according to Karen Kingston, criminal. Okay, they are engaging in criminality, pushing this experimental mRNA gene therapy, and now they want to N95 mask everybody in this country. These are crimes against humanity. I need to keep saying it. And let's stay on the topic of Australia for just a minute. Charles, I'm sure you saw this. A friend of mine sent me this. I had happened to seen it already last night, but a shout out to Aussie Prep for sending me this. The proprietor of the vintage apron in Australia, well, this is what happened to him because some patrons evidently anonymously complained about some people not always wearing their masks.
The vintage apron, a very modern confrontation. Three officers try to arrest its owner, Pierre Khoury. Their struggle clear as customers film. Police claim the cafe flouted COVID rules by not displaying QR codes, not wearing masks, and letting unvaccinated customers in. Khoury told 7 News he isn't anti-vax.
Community safety comes first as far as we're concerned.
Community safety. It's all about safety, Charles. They care so much about us. It's just about safety. So now they've arrested that man, and today his business is shuttered.
Yes, and that man in that restaurant, that cafe, 2 weeks ago, when the police came in to ask him questions, there's a video online of his patients saying, leave, you know, to the police, they're all in unison saying, leave this cafe, leave this cafe. And they absolutely push back against the police. And that's the police response to this man. And it's happening more and more. Justin Trudeau in Canada is coming out and saying that people who aren't jabbed are terrorists and racists. And in Austria, they're planning to have taxation systems like Quebec. This, everybody, please be, we know the game plan that's going on. And the only reason why it's succeeding so far is not enough people have woken up, Sean. And this program and others like it are important to help people realize the absolute tyranny that is happening in the name of safety. And it's remarkable to observe, and it has been a plan. And I think everybody needs to understand that this plan has been decades in the making, right? This is not, oh, this is a quick decision. No, the earlier viruses through the noughties, through the 2000s, 2010s, this has been a long-term plan of global control and depopulation. Why? Because there is the people behind the globalist agenda, the Klaus Schwab agenda, are out to reduce the strain, the alleged strain on the Earth's resources. And we now are pushing back. Sean, this program is helping to push back. Todd's work is helping to push back. We are now gearing up. And there are millions of people in America, Australia, UK, Austria, Europe, who understand what's going on. Not a majority, but millions. And the answer is civil disobedience. So, Todd, I take your point. It's non-violent civil disobedience, everybody. Every single one of us that refuses to comply helps. And there's a beautiful saying that says, people are complying because they think it will stop, but because you comply, it will never stop.
Yeah. If you want it to stop today, stop giving in. Stop saying, well, if I get this shot, then it'll stop. No, it won't stop. It'll stop when you say it stops. Because right now they're coming for me. And, you know, I said this somewhere else, and this is kind of a modern rendition, but first they came for the doctors, and I said nothing. Came for the unvaccinated, and I said nothing because I was not unvaccinated. Then it came for me, and there was no one left to help me. That's where we'll be. And even if you are vaccinated, even if you like it, it's not your right to tell anyone else. And if you feel that it's their responsibility to figure out if they want to get it or not, then you're with us. We're all together in one voice, and we need to stand up and say no more. We're stopping the madness because the madness hasn't helped.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. I mean, the beatings will continue until morale improves, right? I mean, how many more beatings are we going to endure? This is just such nonsense. The data's on our side. The whistleblowers are on our side. Joe Rogan's got 11 million listeners per podcast. He's on the side of truth. Robert Malone, the creator of the mRNA vaccines. Michael Yeadon's on our side. Karen Kingston is on our side. Tom, you're on our side. I mean, we just need more people in the fight for truth, frankly. And I guess next time we do a broadcast, we should get a psychologist on to help us process why so many of these cops are willing to do what we just saw in that video.
There's really actually have a statement on that, actually. Sorry, Dr. and Sean. I want to add to what you were just saying. And there is another mechanism to stop this. No different from what Dr. Sam just said. This message goes to all the spouses and parents of law enforcement and military people who are tasked with enforcing the laws, because there is no application of law without enforcement. So you grab that spouse, if a husband or wife, it doesn't make any difference, and ask them, why are they doing this? And if they can't tell you why, cut off the sex, cut off the dinner, cut off communication. They, you know, they're married to you, or they're your kid, they have a relationship with you, and they'll listen to you. Otherwise, the cognitive dissonance continues on, and they think that they're just doing their job for a paycheck. It's not until they understand this is not acceptable behavior in our household that that ends. And if we can stop the enforcement in a calm way, in a suggestive way without resorting to violence, we can use those spouses and parents and kids to our advantage to put an end to this.
There's an entire book that's a case report on this phenomenon going on now called Ordinary Men. I encourage everyone to read it. And it's how men who were police became guards of concentration camps, and how they did unthinkable things, and how they were drawn down that road. They were guys like everyone else, and they did terrible, terrible, tragic things. And what's interesting about that video you played was you can't trust the person next to you. And that's one way how America was different. I don't know if it still is, but I like to believe that we are different, is that I can trust my neighbor just to leave me alone. Whereas in Germany, during the Nazis, they'd go talk to someone and then the neighbor would be gone.
Right. Right. Well, Charles, I'm sorry that you entered 30 minutes late. I would love to have you on anytime you have information or news to share. So you have an open invite. Any final words from you as it pertains to the wonderful people of Australia that do not deserve what they're going through right now?
Yes, there is a major criminal investigation happening in the UK. Every single one of you who is unhappy with what is happening needs to file a complaint with your local police station. Secondly, if you know anybody who has suffered a death or a major injury, needs to understand that they have ability to file criminal actions to protect their position. And Todd, you talked about indemnity. There is no indemnity for a pharmaceutical company for criminal action. You cannot get an indemnity for criminal behavior. And I say these pharmaceutical companies are criminally negligent, quite different to standard negligence, okay? So that we must push back with criminal complaints. And then, taking Todd's point, that if the police do not properly investigate the complaint that you have, and by the way, one of Australia's senators, Senator Gerard Rennick, filed a picture of a mother with two twins in utero who had the jab. Immediately, one of the twins died, and hundreds of mothers added to the conversation within 1 hour of they too have suffered. There are people suffering in Australia, in America. Do something. Do not suffer in silence. That's my message, Sean.
Very good. Very good. Thank you so much, Charles. I really appreciate that. And again, you have an open invite, as does Dr. Sam Sigaloff and, of course, Todd Callender. I believe this is our third conversation, Todd. I can't wait for our fourth. I really appreciate all of you. Charles, just tell people if you're on Twitter, any way to follow you, anything like that, any social media stuff?
Absolutely. I have a website, charlescoves.com. Now, I'm the only Charles Coves on the planet. Sam Sigaloff is probably one of the few. Todd Callender, there aren't many. Sean Taylor, I'm sorry. There are plenty of you, but if you look up Charles Coves, I have a weekly show up to episode 95 on that as well. And that's not an interview show, Sean, and well done on your show. I'm happy to come on again, but if you search Charles Coves, you'll find me everywhere.
All right.
And excellent. By the way, Sean, My name in Hungarian means, my surname, Kövess, means follow me. So everybody follow me on the road to freedom.
Well, and by the way, since you brought that up again, Hungary, isn't George Soros from Hungary and hasn't he been banned from that country?
Both correct. Yes, he was from, he was born in Hungary and he has been banned. And he is a total disgrace to humanity, in my view, and freedom.
Yeah, I do wonder why these people haven't been arrested. It just really, it's one of my puzzles that I'm trying to get. I can't quite suss it out.
Bobby Kennedy's book shows it beautifully on Anthony Fauci. They're not arrested because their power comes from being part of the gang that is attempting to control us, namely the globalists, the people behind the New World Order, the people behind the Great Reset.
I know, but I guess in my fantasy world, there'd be just some honest sheriff's posse that would just move in on these people when they find themselves in the wrong jurisdiction.
That's our job. You're doing the job, Sean, by running this report.
All right. Thank you, Charles. And Dr. Sam Sigaloff, thank you. Any social media information? Again, tell us about the podcast.
Yeah. So real quick, I want to thank my listener in Queensland and my listener in New South Wales. I've got a podcast called After Hours with Dr. Sigaloff. And just remember, let's make courage more contagious than fear. And together we can do that.
All right. And Todd, who I sometimes call Tom because I confuse Tom Renz with Todd Callender, two of the only attorneys I know. Todd, thank you so much again. And anyway, people can follow you.
It's my pleasure. The best way to reach me is through DR Advocates. That's the name of our law firm, Disabled Rights Advocates. It's dradvocates.com. Thank you for having me, Sean.
Yeah, my pleasure. All right. Thank you, gentlemen. I really appreciate you. I appreciate your penchant for truth. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in, our subscribe stars and our members at sgtreport.tv. Thank you for keeping us in the fight for real news and truth and for real news for free every single day. Visit us directly at sgtreport.com. That's the antidote, the cure to corporate propaganda and mockingbird mainstream media lies. God bless you and your family. Bye-bye.
God bless you. Thank you.
There's more and more information coming out on the extent to which this Western financial system is on borrowed time. So I think what we're looking at is a collapse of the Western regimes economically, collapse in terms of energy production, collapse in terms of moral position, social cohesion. They're collapsing because the narratives of the oligarchy, the financial elite, are not supported by the people.